Thank you very much. Good morning and have a blessed Independence Day. Happy Independence Day tomorrow. Are you ready for a two-hour sermon this morning? We used to say in Africa that you Americans, you have watches, but we have time. So I'm ready to go for 2 hours. Don't worry, I will try to make it a little shorter this morning. So first of all, my family and I are very grateful for your faithful support. It is not easy to study here in the States. It is more expensive than to study in Africa. We need to come here to get more knowledge in order to train, to better train people in Africa. That's why we are here. And as I was explaining to Dr. Mitchell, without your support, it would have been impossible for us to study here in the United States. Thank you very much. All our life, as you can feel it through my accent, we were born and raised in Africa. Where in the world is Africa? So let's see. Yes! Here is Africa. And we were born in Cameroon. Cameroon is in red there. Is Cameroon in red? Let's see. Yeah, Cameroon is green. We are from Cameroon originally, and we used to say that if you want to visit Africa, but you do not have enough money to spend, go to Cameroon. Because in Cameroon, you have all the vegetation and climate of Africa. We have rainforest in the south, savanna in the center, and semi-arid desertic area in the north, far north. So you have all the climates, all the vegetation of Africa in Cameroon. There's also a diversity of people in Cameroon. 260 people groups live in Cameroon. But we were ministering, serving in Cameroon, but now we are in Central African Republic. Central African Republic is next door, east of Cameroon, west of Sudan, south of Chad, and north of Congo. The reason we left our country, Cameroon, where we were pastoring a church and we were involved in various activities, is that in Central African Republic, there's a seminary, Bangui Evangelical Graduate of School of Theology, and in that seminary, we train students and church leaders from 18 French-speaking nations. We do the training in French, and we send them back to their countries. So it is a strategic place, and God called us to serve as teachers in that graduate school. So my wife teaches at the women's section, my wife Priscilla. She teaches classes on Bible study, women of the Bible, and practical skills like typing, sewing, and so forth. I teach at graduate level mostly how to do Christian ministry in Islamic context. So that's my area of teaching. Mostly classes on Islam, the theology of Islam, mission theology, and other classes. So all our life is about good news. That's why this morning I would like to talk about good news again. Good news for desperate people. But before reading the Holy Scriptures, 2 Kings 7, 3 to 11, let's pray. Let's pray together. Oh God, our God, we need you. May you speak to our hearts this morning. May you guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us read together the text of 2 Kings from in chapter 7 from verse 3 to 11. 2 Kings 7, 3 to 11. Although it is there on the board. I like to read it from the Bible, then we can feel it better. So it is written, "Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die? If we say, we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die.' At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord has caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite, the Egyptian kings, to attack us.' So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, 'We are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace.' So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, 'We went into the Aramean camp, and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only tattered horses and donkeys, and the tents left just as they were.' The gatekeepers shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace." This is the word of God. Good news for desperate people. This is the topic of our meditation this morning. First of all, let's go to the context. The event in 2 Kings happened when Elisha was a prophet in Israel. And Elisha was a prophet in Israel for 60 years. Between 892 BC and 832 BC. It was during that period that these events occurred. And it was in Samaria. Samaria, by the way, Samaria means watch mountain or watch tower. It shows that it was on a mountain, a hill. And it was a fortified city. Samaria was the capital of Israel during that time. It was a city, not only an area. So it was a city. And when we read the text, we realize that they were surrounded by the Syrian army. But this is not the first time the Syrian army was attacking Samaria. If we read 1 Kings 20, we find two previous attacks from the Syrian armies. But each time, God delivered his people. But this time, it was so bad that the Samaritans were hungry. Hungry to the point that they were eating their own children. If we read the chapter, the previous chapter, chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 26 to 29, we'll not read it, but you could read it at home, 2 Kings 6, 26 to 29, you'll find that people were so desperate that they were eating their own children. And amazingly enough, Moses, 5 years before this event, talked to the people of Israel and warned them in Deuteronomy 28, from verse 53 to 57. He warned them, he told them, if you do not obey God, you will reach the point where you will have to eat your own children. 500 years before the event. And it happened, just as it was prophesied by Moses. This indicates that the word of God is always true, and his plan for future will be fulfilled, whether we like it or not. When God says something, it will happen. Now, let's come back to the text. The message of this text can be organized around three key phrases. It is not great English, but easy to remember. Wise decision, outstanding discovery, and wonderful distribution. Three phrases. If you forget about the text, at least you may keep these three phrases. And it goes with the acronym WOW. Wise decision, outstanding discovery, and wonderful distribution. Let's start with wise decision. When we go back to verses 3 and 4, we find that the four lepers were so desperate that they said, what shall we do now? If we go into the city, there's no food, and we will die because there's famine in Samaria. And by the way, in the Old Testament, the lepers were not allowed to go into the city. They had to stay outside. They were outcast. They could not go into the temple. They lived in poverty. They depended on charity. So they said, even if we were allowed to go into the city, there's no food. We will starve to death. So let's go to the Syrian camp and surrender. If they let us live, then we will live. If they kill us, then we'll die. We'll have to die anywhere. So they went. And it was a wise decision. Very wise decision. Because that decision finally saved their life, as we will find out later. Maybe we could stop here and ask ourselves, do we make wise decisions? Unfortunately, few people today know how to make wise decisions in respect to their eternal security, to their life after death. The four men with leprosy made a wise decision. And what were the consequences of their decision? Verses 5 to 8, outstanding discovery. Outstanding. Maybe when they were going, they were weeping. Oh, you know what? We'll die. This is our last day. You know, even when you are sick, you want to be alive. You want to live. Because when you are alive, there's always hope. But now they are going and they could die. Maybe they were crying on their way. And when they reached the camp, no soldier around. Nobody. Ah! Amazing. They looked. Nobody was there. But plenty of food. Silver, gold, cloves, outstanding discovery. Wonderful. And I like the way they acted, they behaved. First of all, what did they do? Did they go for gold? No. No gold, no silver, no cloves, but food. The Bible says they ate and drank. First of all. Then they went for silver, gold, and clothes. They were very wise, very intelligent. Today, we are not as wise sometimes. We do not know how to put the first things first. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33? But seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But sometimes we forget about the kingdom of God. We forget even about God altogether, and we go for secondary things. These four men with leprosy were wise. They ate and drank first. Then they went for silver, gold, and clothes. They were satisfied. And what did they do? From verse 9 to 10, wonderful distribution. Wonderful distribution. Wise decision, outstanding discovery, and now wonderful distribution. Wow! What did they do? They ate, they drank, they took silver, they took gold, they took clothes, they were happy. And maybe one of them said, you know what? Let us keep all this food to ourselves. Because they were not so kind to us. Maybe one of them told so. But as a group, they said, let us be careful. This day is a day of good news. And we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. Wonderful. They did not keep the food to themselves. They did not keep all the richness to themselves. They wanted to share the good news. And they went and they told people that there were plenty of food and richness outside of Samaria. When the lepers said, this is a day of good news, we are not doing right, let us share it with other people, there is this sentence, very important to us this morning, in verse 9, that says, if we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. And when I read it, the words of these four lepers remind me of the text of Ezekiel 33 from verse 7 to 11. And I will read it for you. Ezekiel 33, 7 to 11. Where God told Ezekiel, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, oh, wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Interesting. The four men with leprosy said, if we wait until the morning, punishment will find us. So let us go and share the good news. How do we apply this text to us today? What do we learn from this text? This text has a lot of application principles for us this morning. We live in a world that is going under a long and severe spiritual siege perpetrated by Satan and his army. Non-followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are starving spiritually. People are confronted by physical and spiritual death. They are in great danger of spending eternity in hell. There are many desperate people around us. If we go back to the text, we'll find that the only desperate peoples were not the four lepers. The king was desperate. He could not feed his own people. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning his hand, was leaning his body, was desperate. He lost faith and hope altogether. The Syrian soldiers were desperate. They were so frightened by the miraculous intervention of God that they had to flee for their own safety. Brothers and sisters, there are many people who are desperate around us. Look at the rate of suicide. Look at the number of people who are spending all their times in recreational drugs, taking recreational drugs. Look at people who are going through depression or emotional disorders. Many people are desperate. And you know what? We have good news. Because in the midst of desperation, there is a fountain of hope in Jesus Christ. He gives life. He gives eternal security. When I think about my life, I am very grateful, very glad to be Christian. I was very scared to die. You know, in Africa, many people die. And even here, people die. And I was very scared. I had amulets around me when I was not a Christian because I was afraid of the magical powers around me. And I was a very sad person. Very, very sad. Always crying. Then Jesus came into my life. When I accepted him, I was raised in a context impacted both by Islam and African traditional religion. And I did not hear about Jesus until the age of 9. Jesus from Christian perspective, because there's also Isa in the Quran, but he is a simple prophet in the Quran. At the age of 9, I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. Then I went to church secretly during 3 years just to hear more Bible stories. And after 2 years, I heard enough Bible stories to realize that I was a sinner, that I needed to repent and to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I will tell you, my life was radically transformed since then. I am always full of joy and hope. I got rid of all my talismans. I am not afraid to die anymore. There was a real transformation in my life. Maybe I'm the only fool in Jerusalem this morning. Am I the only fool here? Did you find joy, hope in Christ? Could you raise your hand if it was the case? Oh, praise God. I am not the only fool in Jerusalem. Yes, Jesus is transforming. We have good news to share. In conclusion, I would like us to remember that Jesus has the power to save people. I'll give you two examples and then try to go to the real conclusion. Two examples, because I think it is important. It will help you. I remember when we were still in Cameroon, we were invited to Chad by the Association of Evangelicals in Chad. They were trying to reach out to a group, a people group called the Fulbe. Maybe you have heard about the Fulani or Fulbe. But since we speak Fulani, they said, why don't you come with a team from Cameroon to help us in Chad, to reach out to Fulani, because we don't speak their language. We went to Chad. We preached the good news. They are Muslims, by the way. We preached the good news to them in Fulani, their own language. And at the end, they were so excited, that not only they accepted Jesus, it was a little village, all of them accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and the leader of the community said, we have been here for 48 years. Nobody came to us to preach such a good news. Why did you spend 48 years? Why did you waste 48 years of our time? That was a big challenge. And it was a great source of inspiration to us. We went back to Cameroon and we said, you know what? Many people around us could say the same thing in Cameroon. And we started to plant churches in Cameroon. I remember in the year 1996, we visited a whole area. We mobilized 6,000 Christians and sent them door to door. And you know what? In 1 week, 33 new churches were planted. More than 48,000 people came to Christ. 1 week of mobilization of Christians for literature distribution, video film, and door-to-door contact. What the Lord did in Africa, he could do it here too. We know it is very hard, but you know what? God does not ask us to convert people. It is not our business. Our business is not to convert people. Our business is to share the good news. And God will do the miracle of conversion through the power of his Holy Spirit. Because it is not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit. The power of the Spirit of God. And the second example I wanted to give you is what happened in Mali, in a village, a Muslim village again. A church wanted to go and preach the good news to the village, but they were hesitating because all of them were Muslims, so they said they will reject us. But one wise man in the local church said, let us go and preach the good news. If they listen, praise God. If they do not listen, at least we would have obeyed the Lord. So they took the Jesus film and they went to that village in Mali. They showed the Jesus film. And at the end of the Jesus film show, 700 Muslims stood up and they said, we are ready to abandon Islam and to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The church did not plan to send a pastor there, but they had to do so. And now there is a local church in that village, and they have two pastors taking care of them, 700 Muslims. Jesus wants us to go and share the good news. The good news, the joy, the peace, the hope we have in Christ is so good. Let us share the good news. My dear sister, my dear brother, do not keep the good news to yourself. The Lord is asking us, each one of us this morning, who will go for me? What would you respond? Will you say, here am I, Lord, send my grandmother? I hope you would respond, here am I, Lord, I'm ready to preach the good news through my life, through literature distribution, through child evangelism or whatever other means, but Lord, here am I, send me. I hope you will respond to Jesus this way. And may God bless you all. Amen.